What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me in the studio is Brian Malkowitz, or CJ Gibson.
What's up, not in the studio.
And Franz, second place here.
Right off the bat, not even the
glad to be back. Glad. Nothing's changed, I see.
I'm just joking around, man. It is excellent to have you on the show today.
Thank you,
We miss you a lot.
It's been great seeing everyone, and honestly, I've been wanting to get back on Fireteam Chat with you guys, but on Friday, it's just a tougher day, so we'll make it happen.
A little busy.
For sure. So, we had Bungie here at E3. We talked to them a little bit. We did a live show segment. We talked about Shadowkeep. We talked about a ton of stuff about how your saves are going to work. We're going to show that at the end of the show. Let's kind of talk about all the news that's come out of E3, starting with our impressions of Shadowkeep, what we've learned. CJ, not much, right?
Well, that's the thing. I feel like they really gave us a lot of info on that June 6th
Vidoc.
Info dump. So it is interesting to see them come to E3 and actually really not have a stage presence. They didn't have anything, playable, which is weird. It's the first time that's been the situation for Bungie in
a lot of years. Yeah, it's funny. You said impressions. I was like, wait, I didn't think anything's playable, right?
It was just, we played the whole thing.
You weren't there. They invited everybody.
Yeah. Trials is back.
Exactly.
So that was what was interesting about it. And now, having said that, you'll play the interview after. We didn't get tons of information from them directly, and that's because a lot of stuff is in development. So I got to make sure to let people know that when people say, why didn't you guys ask this, that, and everything, live production is very difficult, and we only had a window of time with them, and it's very fast.
There was a short
point
window.
In my ear, I think you or Dan were like 3 minutes. I was like, CJ, like, shut up.
We need
to go rapid fire.
We're in a live
now.
Environment, and when we go live, we have to keep to a schedule, otherwise like people get upset, sponsorships go crazy, and we have to cut out when we have to cut out.
But my guess is, I've seen them on some other interviews, like they were at the Coliseum with Keeley, truth is, it wouldn't matter what you ask them. Is Trials come back? When is Destiny 3? Yeah. Is there going to be another expansion next year? We're not talking about that.
There's only so many times that we really only want to hear that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Or them turn it into an answer of a question you're not even asking.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like I don't want to. We know what those answers are going to be.
We've got a lot of the answers we wanted about like the fact that we have to pick one of our saves on one of our platforms, and that will be our master save, right?
Yeah.
So, which child are you murdering?
Wow.
And which are you keeping?
I'm just choosing your favorite child.
My Xbox character is gone.
Yeah.
I ended it at like 300 something. I didn't get through Curse of Osiris all the way, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I think I'm just going to keep the PC character. It sucks though that we lose that legacy from D1 and D2.
It erases it sort of like.
Well, we never really got it with how Destiny 2 launched.
On PC. And so, that's the issue. And so for me, I was debating on whether or not I wanted to take my PS4 character and get him up to that point because I have a lot of that year one stuff and all of Destiny 1 that carried over. Mm-hmm. Like all of my characters, all my visual aesthetic stuff, right? And you get nervous?
I'm just thinking about
this.
Right? You're right. Because
I have the
emblem, but like I would never wear it. I don't think...
Emblems don't matter.
Exactly.
Nobody wears you wear them once, then you...
By the time you find a new design you like, you swap it out, and then you don't think about it again.
Yeah. I think it would be different if I could have like worn my ornament from Wrath of the Machine, and that was one of the year one Destiny 1 gifts you brought forward. We don't have anything like that, right? Like, there's nothing other than emblems and some triumphs or something, right? It's not really that much. So
no,
I'm not
going
to go all the way back to something I haven't played in a year and a half.
Absolutely.
That was my PS4 version.
Yeah.
Where do you spend more money at the Eververse, Fran?
No, it doesn't really matter.
I know you bought that Iron Banner.
Exactly. Yeah, that's on my PC. I have that little Iron Banner axe. That's the only major thing that I've really got.
I had to buy the Dragon's Breath looking sparrow. I forget what it's called, but I was like, I need that sparrow.
Yeah.
But it is persistent across all platforms. So these trips now, CG, I can bring my standard PS4 and just work on the stuff. I don't have to borrow your rig or whatever.
Yeah. But you do need to buy all four copies or whatever services it's on. So
yeah, that's for a lot of people. That's a hard pill to swallow. I'm glad they have like the $40 bundle that you can get right now. But as we go forward into Shadowkeep, we have a $35 Shadowkeep expansion. But for the full year of content, it's much more pricey.
Yeah. And I think they're going to obviously talk about some of those things in greater detail as, you know, the month and the game evolves. That's one of those things I wanted to mention. People did that with Datto as well, too. Like, you know, I've watched a bunch of the interviews. I watched the Vidoc, the live stream. I saw the Coliseum interviews. There's a bunch of information out there. There's only so much time, and when people are like, oh, you know, because even they said in the comments, you know, ask this, ask that, you know, there's some times where we get a chance to ask them just before the interviews, and rather than having a situation where we just ask them, oh, what about trials, what about this, you didn't ask that, we don't want to have an interview for 20 minutes with them just saying, can't answer. So
that's honestly almost what we got, because they're always going to answer with a long-winded, like, they're going to give a long-winded answer. That's something you just don't want to hear.
Yeah.
Trials in development? Well, you know, Trials is a storied franchise in the Destiny universe.
We've always enjoyed
it. We hear the PvP players out there as they respond to us.
Heard the feedback from the community.
But it was great to have them on, and what was cool is they basically did say that at near Gamescom, which is going to be just a month before launch, they would like to talk to us again, and they'll have a bunch more to reveal, because that'll be basically probably within a couple weeks before the event launches.
Yeah, I wonder if
They said you had to beat the raid, though, by that time. So.
Oh, he has none yet?
Yeah, that's me now. It's not just a new anymore.
They're making
it's
fun of you now.
Like, CJ's always trailing behind.
Within
the first week, you're good, because then you qualify for the raid jacket. If you don't qualify for the raid jacket, that means you're slacking.
That's right.
CJ won't get the raid jacket.
No, he can't.
Today's
Wednesday, right? Reset already happened. Yeah.
My wife is having a birthday. Got three kids. You know, hopefully Bungie factors that in. You know.
Hold on.
I mean, the power per hour, the time you
on
have
camera.
To play.
God. Yeah. On camera, how many of your wife's birthdays have you missed for E3?
This is literally, I think, the eighth one. I brought her out to two of them. I won't say how old she's turning. It's a pretty big milestone. Yeah. But she's actually coming in tomorrow. 16. We're going to spend some time in L.A., Universal Studios and all that stuff. So, yeah.
She's coming down.
Yeah, she's going to come down to L.A. for a little bit.
Thank
but I missed a
she
lot.
Doesn't watch the show.
Thank you so much, sweetie.
She's a great wife.
I apologize.
She's been
doing good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. CJ, you were really excited about the new emotes.
Yes.
I am pretty stoked that I'm going to be able to uppercut
fatalities.
I'm calling them
fatalities.
I did that
finisher.
Today.
Yeah.
I was like, new emotes? Where
finishers,
is this?
It sounds but, like there's going to be
Bungie
a
did use, I think,
emote wheel.
I think it was Scott Taylor who used that language, right?
He or
called
Deej.
Them, Deej he, or DJ called them combat emotes.
Yes, yeah. Something like that.
I kind of get that.
Because I didn't, I want to know, yeah, it's probably what you're asking, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I want to know how were they able to actually perform them? Or is it only one per character?
Exactly.
Or you have to
That's
equip
the question that you need to
I did ask.
He did.
I skirted away.
He kind of said it seems like you'll map one and then you can swap it out.
It seems like.
But what most people want to know, right, is can you do them at any time, and how does that work on an enemy that you're killing? Like, I don't understand.
I think
how
you do
it
them
works.
As finishers when you finish the enemy.
So it applies the last bit of damage. You have to predict it. You see what I'm getting at?
Yes. Like, remember Halo Reach? You could implement them, and you could like hold the button, and then it would execute it. I just played Halo Reach on PC, and I'm guessing it's going to be
right. It'll be
in that fashion.
A context will come up. You'll have the opportunity to use it.
Hold
maybe.
X or
but I was wondering if it was like every time or. But I'm excited about it. I mean, you know, more we'll style in the world. Yeah. I think. Whatever. I mean, I'm way more excited about many other things than I am a combat finisher. But it was nice to see some actual like new gameplay mechanic progression.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like we're in this zone with Destiny. It's like. You know, we're on year three now, right? We're going to be going into it for Shadowkeep, right? Yeah, that'll be the start of year three. And, like, also Destiny 2 is very based on Destiny 1, meaning mechanically, the game hasn't changed in the core mechanics. You know what I mean? PC was one of the biggest upgrades. So I'm happy to see there's some new things like that in there. So.
Eris is back. She's tripping balls and sending all these hallucinations your way.
Yeah,
apparently she's making acid balls.
Yeah, she's like going on a bad acid trip with you along the way.
Fingertips on the surface of her mind are going crazy this time around.
Turns out it was LSD on the surface of her mind.
I love this implementation of the moon and how they make it extra scary. Like, how are you guys feeling like going into all these images from D1?
Just like CJ said, like, moon was like the best. Like the best patrol space in Destiny. Like aesthetically, helium. Oh my god, that just reminds. Now you're just like putting me back to all of that grind for the exotic swords.
Exactly, man.
But yeah, but no, the moon is like probably the best play space in Destiny. Just aesthetically with the horror.
Yeah, why was that? Was it just the aesthetic of something we could relate to that was almost real to us?
Yeah, it's because like when you get put on the moon, because the moon is like the first place you go to.
We've woken the hive, the best farming spot.
Immediately, it evokes this like there is so much that has happened here, like in history that we know it's just this deep mystery.
Yeah.
It's got that horror aesthetic to it. It's just a great.
Yeah, it had a good vibe.
Fogoth. I mean, when you remember about that strike in Fogoth where he's tied up, and that was also the part,
Dinklebox Liver. I do not want to know what is down there.
Exactly, and all the text and language that went along with that. That was the Thorn Quest strike as well too, or when you acquired Thorn down there.
You had to kill the wizards.
You had to kill the wizards. Yeah. He didn't have to finish the strike.
So there's a bunch of stuff that was really cool, I think, and just like I said, so many times now I'm repeating myself because I say it in the interview. I never feel afraid in any location in Destiny, but the moon and the dreadnought a little bit made me feel
a little bit
afraid of the enemies and like the challenge that they provided. So
yeah, I guess it's funny. Like, I'm definitely excited to go back and see how it's changed. It's twice as big, they said, right?
Yeah.
And it's also changed. Yeah.
The map is twice as big.
And it's morphed, in the sense that, like, maybe the old spaces have new things. We know it's got that big, what are they calling it? The big new cathedral or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's like a cathedral that's there now. And so I'm very excited to see what that looks like, Because, I feel it'll be very different than when we went back to, for Wrath? We went back to the Cosmodrome.
Yeah.
Is that where it was,
but
right?
Just
they just expanded it a little bit. I think it'll be a lot more than that.
Yeah.
I can't wait to go back. Fight Crota with a bunch of blueberries, have no clue what the F they're doing.
It looks like you're gonna fight Crota.
And I'm just typing in chat.
Yeah, it looks like you're gonna fight Crota in a whole different way. So it's not like we're going back into that raid, right? Mm-hmm. It just looks like in a new area where you're fighting Crota.
Well, you're still gonna have to drop his shield so he kneels in some fashion, right?
Do you
remember the public events in Oryx's ship?
Yeah, the Fanatic.
And like nobody knew what to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like couldn't type, but I'm like, please drop the shield first.
I love that in Court of Oryx, and it was the third rune, and it rotated on a weekly basis. I loved getting Crota there because it was this weird encounter that was hybrid of what it was, but then you would have random people coming up, and you're right, not knowing what they're doing, and you're like, hey, kill them. So
did you guys already talk about on the previous show or whatever about how you feel about it being the moon versus we got Dreaming City, a brand new space? Did you already go through that whole?
Yep, we did. So moving on.
A little bit.
The moon's really cool to have back. But, Fran, to be honest, Venus was probably my favorite location. Mm. I really, really liked just the architecture, and that's where we entered Vault of Glass, right?
Yeah.
So visually, that's one of my favorite spaces. We are going to get to see Black Garden again.
The raid.
Yeah,
but
that's
a big deal. I don't mind that they're bringing back this space.
Yeah.
But if they continue this, and this is like all the expansions through the year, just bringing D1 into D2, I think some people would be kind of like, oh, bummed.
But for sure.
We also don't know what their vision of the moon is going to be. Exactly. It sounds like it's going to be very
especially when they're doubling the size of it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting so much more than just vanilla D1 moon.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel like it's born out of the commentary of, like, when you bring a weapon back, it's like, well, you're just bringing back old stuff, so it feels like they're rehashing. It's like, well, wait.
But they're always bringing it back with something new.
Hopefully that is not the case, right, is that it truly, feels transformed, it feels new. And I'd be more than happy to go to the moon for the reasons you guys mentioned. Mostly helium filaments.
Mostly helium
filaments. Mostly those.
What about you, Siege? How are you feeling?
Just that entrance, they showed it now in the Viaduct where there's that chasm and it's like the railroad track that you'd always go on to find
There's
that spot where you're walking by, they're doing the flyby, and you know that the entrance to where you spawn, like, I don't know how often I would farm in that little area in a circle. It's where you first encounter the captains in order to enable your sparrow.
Yeah.
And seeing that, it's very iconic. And I love that. I love the little flashback nuggets. I'm a very nostalgic person, so I am excited about
it. It's also the little things, too. Like, looking into the sky and, like, seeing, like, a broken, just destroyed International Space Station.
Yeah.
You know, super close to the moon was a really cool look, too.
Yeah.
it's a small thing, but I love that they show the cutscene of your jet flying in and you
dropping in that
down. Yeah. And I'm like, did we get that?
Yeah.
On like Dreaming City and everything? We did for Dreaming City. Like,
yeah, there's always there's things the happening. The intro mission has something like that.
Yeah, but I actually really, really like that subtlety that was in Destiny 1. And I'm glad to see it back for the intro to this mission.
I mean, as you say that, like, we don't know what the Cosmodrome is going to look like, but that first level in the Cosmodrome with all the...
For New Light, you mean?
Yeah, for New Light with, you know, the barren wasteland, sort of all the vehicles and stuff like that. That's also very iconic.
Oh,
so just to get that back.
That was,
get that back, but though, like, they haven't, like, talked about whether or not, like, veteran players are going to be able to go there because that's
going to
be...
You're going to want
to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, as someone who's played Destiny so much, I want to do that mission, but do I have to delete a character to do that?
Just create a new account, Brian. It's free.
No. Yeah.
That's a good point if you,
you
really
could.
Want it.
You could.
It's free. Just create
an
account.
But I mean, I could just go log into Destiny 1 and do that.
Yeah.
But it's not... Yeah. You could.
It's going to be
To play that mission. It'll be different because you have all the new stuff.
I'll do it for capture.
I mean, look, we already went back to it anyway for that one...
exactly.
What was that? Was that for
Whisper? Thunderlord.
What was that, right?
Thunderlord.
For Thunderlord. Yeah. So we already went back for Thunderlord, although it was wintry, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but it was like very similar...
We're not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Quarantined, as they say.
I'm curious if we're going to see the mysterious... I don't have time to explain why.
Stranger.
Is it Stranger?
It's the Stranger.
Basically, they confirm that.
Stranger?
On a Brace sister. Yeah, exactly.
That's Teddy who doesn't exist off camera.
there was that thing that Luke Smith, I believe it was, said a while ago, that they believed that they wrapped up her story nicely.
Well, yeah, so but in that scene, your ship flies away and she's there.
Yeah.
Oh, really? So I guess they're going to walk back on that, huh?
Well, I think that's...
I bet she's not there in the new version.
That, so now that you mentioned that, I think that's what's weird, is that I feel like it's the same thing when you now go back to the first parts and play with Cade involved. Like, Cade is still in all those story beats, right? Even though, you know, he's obviously not in the tower. If you go back. So it is one of those things where, it's not something that you can really undo because the game is still...
I don't think it'll be that
persistent.
I think that's taking it too literally, right? Yeah. Like, this is just letting people arrive at the Cosmodrome and get to the tower. Mm-hmm. And I think they've used the term. It's like a 15-minute, like, I think it's a very basic, like, this is why you have the ghost. I think it's literally just, we already saw most of it, and they just tweaked it a little.
Here's how
it
so works.
What I wonder happens is, what happens when you walk through the door you normally would go into and start fighting? Maybe you still do some of that, right? Because they want a little intro to the gunplay. Yeah. But then... something's going to happen, and it's like, all right, well, now you're going to go to the Tower Guardian, and like maybe you get picked up outside there.
Because the original, the whole first mission had you go drive to that crashed ship somewhere in the Cosmodrome, and take that like warp drive or whatever, you're not warp drive, but just an engine to put into that one you found. So it's like, I wonder how they...
So it might be similar, right? Like just a brief intro, very similar, but maybe without... I guess my point was, it's not going to necessarily keep all the same story elements. It's literally just trying to teach you the basics of the game.
Yeah. They can mess around with time also. Like, they could jump forward fairly quickly.
Yep.
Like,
exactly.
It could be like you getting your ship, but then you go straight to the new tower.
Yeah.
Because the tower's been...
Yeah, I mean, for all we know, maybe it does take place way back then.
Like, Guardian, and we need you right now, and the tower's under attack.
Well, maybe they give you
that would be a good way to do it. It's like, that tower's under attack, so that's where... Like, you have that scene in...
You're never going to go to the old tower, it sounds
right.
like.
Right, right. Yeah.
You only go to the destroyed
Unless
tower.
Unless sometime, maybe Shadowkeep brings it back.
We'll see.
Well, if you want to go do the zero-hour mission.
Yeah.
I think that's honestly some of the reason why they eliminated the ability to play those over again. Like in Destiny 2, you really cannot play the campaign over again unless you did Ikora's Memories. And even then, I think they brought just some of them back in. What was the little event that was the very, you know?
Oh, you're talking about those Solstice of Heroes.
Yeah, Solstice of Heroes. They gave you the option to kind of redo them again. So it does seem odd if you could go back and play these moments when, now Cade is alive again.
Yeah,
but we've killed them and taken them from the tower.
It's the same thing, though, when you replay strikes or patrols and you still get Cade's voice in some of those.
It is, but it is like that in a way, and I don't know if that's why. I'm just saying it's unfortunate that in some ways you cannot play some of those ones again from the director and pick them just the way you did in Destiny 1, right?
Yeah. So talking about New Light, we're kind of like going on about the Cosmodrome. I'm curious, how do you guys feel about all the new Guardians that are going to get access to a very large swath of content for no cost?
Yeah,
I think it'll be good for the community. And I'm going to be interested to see how that a la carte mode does work. They described it a little bit in our interview, but I still don't feel like I have a good grasp of the pricing structure of it. And I'm a little concerned.
You mean like getting Forsaken?
Like, if you just want to do the raid, so you buy the raid, right?
I don't think it'll be that.
I don't think it'll be that. That
I don't think it'll be
that. They said a la carte.
A la carte. I think they meant, like, there's no, like, annual pass to where you can buy, you know, Season of Opulence. You can buy Season of the Drifter, Black Armor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like when they said a la carte, I assumed
that's
like
what I assumed,
a DLC pack. It's not going to be, it's not going to be you can buy the raid or you can buy a strike or you can buy this. I don't think. It sounds like what they're saying is within Warmind as well as Osiris, mm-hmm. those things initially were packaged together.
You can always buy those separately.
You could buy them separately, that's but my point is it was cheaper to buy them together.
I just think there was
and then it was like the annual pass. It's cheaper to buy it together. But they're basically right. saying now they don't tie into each other the same way that they did this last time because mm-hmm. you did need to really buy them or play them in order to do some of the other things in the next
right.
one.
Here's my theory. Shadowkeep's going to be the line in the sand. And the only way to power progress past 750 is going to be Shadowkeep.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So theoretically, you're not going to need any of that stuff, and it's only going to be a sort of experience that you can...
Sure.
Yeah, experiential, so where, like, it's not necessarily powering
Yeah,
you up.
I think absolutely. Like,
yeah.
Or if you want that raid set from an old raid, you can buy it, but that's the only reason you can really experience it.
But there are probably going to be some game modes and types that are going to entice people to get it, because if you think of... you know, Iron Burden, which they put into Iron Banner, and then if they bring Trials back, or if they bring these other activities, if you don't have access to that, you can maybe only get to the certain power level.
Menagerie is maybe a decent example.
Menagerie maybe, but if you're not able to potentially progress to the new light cap limit, you are going to potentially be, you know, light forced into wanting maybe to upgrade and get to that max.
Well, that's a really good question, though. Where would that come up? So if Shadowkeep's got... It's got the new dungeon, it's got a new raid, it's got new missions. Like, you won't have access to any of that, so that's right. where the new light's at. What do you think would be left behind from right now, Season of
Everything
Opulence?
Everything up to 750.
But probably. Like, use Season of Opulence as an example. They're going to get, I believe, they're going to get the power boost up to, what's it going to be by then, 740 or something? So they're going to get a 740 power surge bounty. Mm-hmm. So they can be, I believe, 740.
Max power?
I believe. So
well,
meaning
max power today, in September, that's going
to
change.
So we're speculating, though. But meaning max power today is 750, right? I'm assuming it'll go to 800, maybe?
Probably.
Let's just
it's a large expansion. Don't they usually bring it up to about 100?
Sometimes higher, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it'll go to 850.
But
just for sake of discussion.
Question. Do we know that?
I don't know.
New Light works up to Forsaken, except the buy Forsaken.
So we have Teddy in the
so
background.
Yeah, but that's
so
not like,
like
Teddy
so go,
doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll go up to like 600 in New Light. Then.
No, but time out though, but that's where I think Destin was going with this. We don't know what the light will now be.
Yeah.
It's New Light, right? So what I'm speculating on is that the light, like meaning you don't need the light to play through all that. That's to...
You can do any of the content with the new blueberries who are entering with New Light. That's what they said. They're trying to break down those barriers.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
your light for most activities is going to be less impactful.
Yeah. And that's good, I guess, but it's weird because I did like the fact that your Iron Banner and Trials initially was impacted by light. There was a motivating reason to play for those things and to get new drops and to have a power increase from mm-hmm. playing those activities. So.
But for the sake of discussion, I think maybe it's a good example, right? We're in Season of Opulence. Menagerie is a brand new, really cool activity. It's going to be on the map. It will be a la carte in some way. We don't know exactly how. It's part of Forsaken. So, if I see that, I'm like, man, I really want to try Menagerie. It's there, but it's locked. And it says, you need the Forsaken whatever, or you need Season of Opulence.
Go to the store.
Yeah.
So it's going to tell you, and then you're like, okay. But
it better be on your menu also. I better not have to like go to the tower,
Hopefully.
Go to a robot, open the store.
I'm sure they're figuring a lot of that out. But my question is, well, where other than that do you think you would need light for? Like, in other words, I just can't imagine where you run
raid.
Into. Okay, yes, yeah, so.
Gambit Prime.
Yeah. But this is my example. If I'm playing, if I buy the expansion, I'll probably already be 740 from the Power Surge bounty, won't I? We don't know that, right? But I think, in other words, I'll already be 740, so I could just hop in.
You only get the Power Surge bounties if you have an annual pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think the light is before that? That's what we don't know.
These are
650.
These are some good questions.
Well, New Light, if New Light's going up
to
Forsaken,
do we know that, though, or we don't?
We don't think we do.
They haven't spit that specifically. They could cap it at 300. We just don't know that.
Yeah.
These are all the things that I think that once because again, think about PC migration, and they did say there's there's a lot of stuff they're trying to figure out, and the communication message in the next month and a half is going to need to be very specific.
I might wait like a month or two after they initiate cross saves to start doing it, just in case.
Yeah.
Oh God.
And yes, like people start merging their accounts over, and things are getting deleted in spots where they don't want them to.
We also have the problem of we're moving from BNet to Steam now, and how is that going to work? How are your friends' gamer tags going to change? Are you going to lose your friends because all your friends list is actually tied to your BNet?
Yeah,
and
you probably are going to have to.
How that's all going to transition over? I'm probably going to be starting fresh on Steam.
Yeah, and they did say that there's a lot of like tech stuff in behind the scenes to work out, so it's a smooth experience. That was one of the things that Mark and Luke said actually. I think in the first part of their.
I know I'm stuck on this power and light thing. I mean, you move on.
We don't know.
I have another example, like Nightfall, right? They're going to have access to... No, we don't know if that's
Nightfall, yeah.
They'll have access to everything, and Nightfalls were in the base game, so yes. But they'll probably be locked out of specific missions.
Maybe there will be...
They will have access to Nightfall because they have access to all the strikes.
But some of the Nightfalls are Forsaken and on. Well, actually, no, never mind.
They said they'll have access to all the strikes, they'll have access to Gambit and Gambit Prime. It's not going to be like, you want to have access to that.
But they didn't say Nightfall activities, but... Anyway, where I'm going with that, I just wanted to close my thought, which I actually do think they're going to make it easier than we're painting it. I really don't think Light is going to relate to expansions, personally. I feel like...
I just want to see it. I want to see it and understand
but you're right, on the basis of the raids, they have to do something that it would be very confusing to the required Light levels. But I think they're going to make it simpler, and whether you're 700 or 740, I feel like they'll just give you that now.
Yeah. Yeah, not a lot of info here, but I think the only other thing that I could really discuss, we talked about cross-save. Mm-hmm. We know we don't have cross-play yet. They dodged that question. Yep. And transmogrification.
Yeah, which you
whatever
keep calling
they're calling it.
They said they didn't use that term, but
that's what it is.
It seems like
they also
like,
didn't call
it seems like they're
RPG.
Almost acknowledging that it's almost basically the same thing, but they're just staying away from that term.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of questions that we had, like is elimination 3 or 4, and then what are the new stats on the armored gear? How does that progress? We did ask some of those just in the background, like intellect, discipline, strength. Like how does that affect year one gear? They just are really in the midst of development right now. And again, I read everybody's questions of stuff that, hey, ask this. We did kind of ask them behind the scenes. But again, the fact that they can't talk about it, you literally just have a 25-minute show of us asking the questions
that we
saw you ask, but then it'd just be like, oh, we
did
can't
our
say
best
yet.
Is what CJ's trying to say.
Yeah, they're worried.
He's continuing to make excuses.
No, I'm not. I just... I
believe you.
Yeah,
believe you.
No, but
it's really hard.
It is. It's just the amount of time that you have. We joke, we're like, was that 12 minutes already? And it does
go by
really fast.
It does.
There's a reason, too, that, like, honestly, that's why I wanted to double-check. I haven't really heard much new news in the last
Destiny
week.
Destiny like, 3 in like 5 years, there is going to be a Destiny 3.
There was a
3,
quote,
but they're focused
they didn't
on
say
Destiny
that though,
3.
Right?
Luke
said something like 5 to 7 years. Like,
I heard a 3
Destiny
to...
Destiny 2's a long way. Destiny 2's going to be here for a long time.
Yeah, I heard actually a 3 to 5 years. But again,
this
on Twitter.
You're right. Yeah.
But if you interpret that too, we want to support Destiny 2 from 3 to 5 years. That's just supporting. They still support Destiny 1.
Yeah.
So you don't know that my prediction is 2 years from now.
That's their way of saying
they're
going to
be leading into Destiny 3, a next-gen platform. I hope.
Give me two more years of Destiny 2. I think that's a
good
sweet
spot. That I think is realistic.
Yeah.
I think so.
Is there anything else you guys want to go over? I think that's everything we've learned at E3.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like little minutia things, and we're just going to discover more in September and as we get closer. Mm-hmm. Even Guardian Con's coming around the corner in July.
Yeah, exactly. And they said that they're going to be there as well. Yeah, exactly.
They'll probably have a little bit of an announcement. Like it seems like a pretty good schedule now because there's only a few months, and like they'll probably have a little something for that.
I think it'd be cool if they show
after that.
Yep. New Light at Guardian Con or Gamescom. I would love to see what that experience is going to be like. But
I feel like New Light's a weird place to bring New Light. Guardian Con?
Yeah, maybe.
Do you think they'll have a menagerie competition? Like, is that would that work?
No.
I don't think so.
Gambit works, but for a head-to-head, that's a little trickier for a menagerie.
Yeah. It'd be time-based or something. So
Hopefully, there's some new PvP modes and game types and stuff like that, because again, they focused on this in the Vidoc. I think what made Trials so special is because it was a different thing each weekend, a different map. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't only Trials, and it was the same game type. It felt like it was a different thing
yeah, it was
each
an event.
Weekend.
It was an event. Rusted Lands, or it was something.
It was Burning Shrine for like a year.
It was for a while.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing that made Trials special, is because every weekend there was this new activity to focus on. That was probably really one of their first times creating, you know, where they're doing this with a bunch of other things now, is their bounties and all this stuff, a different weekend thing that you kind of got excited for. And I hope they bring something back in that
capacity. Yeah, I know PvP community, they especially, like, they know there's a new foundation being built and that they're serious about it, but, like, we don't know what that means.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely, you know, people are a little bothered by that because they're worried because it has been, like, what, there's been no new map, like, in a lifetime, it feels like.
Yeah, yeah. Widow's Court, that's good. That's coming back.
Yeah, so. Yeah, the church map on the church map. The snipers.
Get good.
That was a fun trials
yeah,
map. The
way, yeah, that was good trials. That was good. Yeah,
that's a good map. I actually really, really like that map. Some really, really interesting sight lines, like in the middle there.
Yeah.
From the edges, like if you get up on the stairs versus...
Oh, you mean head glitching the stairs?
Yeah, exactly.
No, not head glitching.
Oh, but, dude, I love that snipe off once you're like kind of on the top part of the stairs and you're looking down at the bottom. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Lots of great spots. Anyway. Lots to look forward to in the world of Destiny. Fran, thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, man, let's get back on. You know, I want to get more into the, we got to talk about, I didn't get to talk about contest with you guys, or power per hour. And
power per hour.
You know, the things are changing, and I'm
what do you have left
excited.
To say about power per hour? The contest
you didn't get
we could.
No,
they finally, you know, we'll talk about it another time. They're doing a good job now. I mean, okay. I felt like a lot that the last
it's
wish.
It's really close.
Yeah.
It's
but in
really
other words,
close,
let's all go back to, what, last September with Forsaken or October?
Andrea Renee in the center.
It was a big moment
side.
On Fireteam Chat. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to get back to it and see how everyone feels now after doing... They changed a lot with contest. And,
Well, we don't have to outro right now. I'll just say this. I think they are...
Change of plans,
I think
everybody.
They are as close as they've ever been to finding that sweet spot for the power per hour thing. With contest. Contest is the right move. Mm-hmm. I think they're still not quite in that healthy space for competing because it's like a 6-hour window and then it's another 12 hours of gameplay. You know?
Healthy space.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll do that again.
It was rough. It was really, really hard on me.
The talk on Destiny Community Podcast, which I forget who said it, Breyer, but they brought up they thought it was because of the Stadia announcement. Have you guys been offered this explanation?
No.
They
no.
thought, so actually, okay, let me ask you, this is really interesting. Breyer or someone brought this up to like, I think because the Stadia announcement, they didn't want it get in the way of the raid, and so they moved it up. What do you think? Oh. Do you think it was planned for a Friday? And they said, you know what, with E3, we got to move it
up. Was the Stadia announcement on the Friday?
It was Thursday, but it was still like interfering with it potentially.
They announced the timing too far in advance for that to be a consideration, I think.
But what would be the difference? That's the big question. Why not just do it on Friday?
Well, I mean, it is the first time we were talking a little bit about this, that they've announced something and had a piece of content launch a few days before E3. Because every other time, they're already promoting something, you know, or launching it right away to promote it for September.
Yeah.
So this, I mean, it's the reason why I didn't do it, because I was here prepping for E3.
It's also just the first time, like, Destiny has had a content release so close to E3 that, because Bungie is always, you know, they always come to E3 and bring whatever's coming later
in
the year.
Yeah.
And so Season of Opulence was that first time that they've had something butting up against what they want to announce for the later year.
It's possible. It also could have been E3, but meaning I had the same reaction, Destiny. I was like, that's like a little too convenient.
Yeah.
Stadia was happening. But then I did that, you know, as I was talking, I was
like, the Fran thing.
Yeah. I was like, well, actually, there might be something to it. But meaning I do think that we'll probably see either the Friday or Friday after kind of return of the raid, but with contest. And, you know, the biggest thing that I keep bringing up that I don't have a solution for, I love that it is so elite and it's an amazing competition. But that's who contest is for. It's about 100 teams and 600 people. So you lose a player base that might go to millions now. Frankly, I think it's out there. You have to solve that because, I mean, I don't know. I know you can still raid, but like, can we have a competition that's not just for pro players?
The power you need.
I'm not that good. I don't know.
The power you need to gain is right perfect. Like 520 or 720 being the cap. I'm like, okay, I can get there, you know, throughout the raid progression. I think it should be on Friday, though. And I think if they do that one change, they've hit the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think that you see the difference just between pros and real life. And that's what it is. I think regardless of what it is, if they launch the raid with the power cap or gave you a week or gave you 5 days, the people who can invest the crazy amount of time, 10 hours, will find a way to game a system.
Teddy.
Regardless of, exactly, Teddy and other people, they'll just find a way to game a system. And that is what Destiny is about.
So but nobody did this because of contest. It solved a lot.
It did solve a lot.
There's no gaming the system, right?
Not really. That. But it's like you had to put in a crazy amount of time, and there were strategies involved in that.
Yes, preparation.
I think next season they're gonna say last season 750. This season you start new. You can't like. bake old stuff.
That'd be nice as well.
And I think you made a good point with the within the context of Menagerie. It would be maybe cool to have something that you said, hey, the raid's going to launch in 2 hours. This is this new piece of content, like Menagerie. You play that for 2 hours or the amount of time that you want, whatever it is. It's just going to open right after that and go. And then it's a chance game still, or maybe you can do so many drops. Or it's all just like a, you know, because there's a lot of things that, again, people try to do to still maximize power, but they're closing raids and this. So they're trying to balance it within the context of what, you know, they're mm-hmm. offering. So it's really odd to do that when you could just say, hey, just the game, if you want to power up, you play this activity.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think they solved a lot of the power per hour going into it, although I was already 700. So in other words, I am curious if you're 690 and you want to raid and do the whole thing, do you need to get, you know, 715 first?
Through the whole 715, 720, right?
But everything
some
was
of
capped.
Us were 720.
Everything was capped. The beginning
but in other words, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, the beginning of the raid was capped, and then when you get to the final count, you're 720
still capped.
Yeah. At 720.
But for a 735 encounter, you're 15 below.
Like, yeah.
That's what they've been making.
Just for 24
hours. So somebody
was
able to get 740 in the last encounter, it didn't matter.
Exactly. Yeah. But where I'm going with it is, enter the...
I did beat it within,
you know, it was like 30-some hours where we did it.
But the cap
was
off at that point.
CJ, how many times did you beat it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not judging. Listen, I already said it. I'm just saying the cap was off at that point. So then you could have powered up outside of it. And
it was noticeably different.
It was.
As soon as that 24 hours was up and you downloaded the patch, it's like, whoa, my shotguns hurt things.
Yeah.
It was funny. We were in the last encounter. I didn't notice as big a jump because I just went from like, I was at 717 and then I barely made 720, 721. Yeah. So I actually didn't feel a huge difference and it was so much about being coordinated. But the point I was trying to make is if you start the raid at 700, do you think you can finish it with the drops you get? Or are you going to have to go out and grind? I'm curious if it's, like, how does it feel right now?
Without the cap?
Without the cap, right now, is it designed that you could go in the raid at 700 and actually make it out of there? You're going to be like, boom, like, oof. All right, I'm going back to do Menagerie.
You're going to hit that wall.
Which is interesting, you know, when you think about it. Because in other words, it's still designed that you probably need to go in at 715, 720. You're going to be capped in contest, but you'll probably be able to finish it as long as you did your grind.
Yeah.
But when you look at that, it's still interesting. They got things to figure out is all I'm trying to point out.
Even if you're getting lucky on drops in the raid and you're at 700, there's still only, what, two or three drops in that raid?
Yeah, there's not enough to jump that amount of light.
Right.
So, you know, the PPH.
There's a lot that we could probably get into, but we have to edit the show for posting.
I tried.
Don't forget, everybody, there is more after this. This is our live show interview with Bungie, but because Fran's here, and thank you so much for coming back.
Yeah,
thank you
for having me.
It's great to have you during E3.
Yeah.
Because Fran's here, we're going to do an outro for this segment. So, until Fran's back next time,
Guardians out!
Welcome back to IGN Live at E3. You can't spell Destiny without Destin, and that's me, Destin Legarry. We just learned that a ton of changes are coming to Destiny 2, starting with a new expansion, Shadowkeep. To discuss Destiny 2, New Light, and Shadowkeep with us, please welcome my IGN colleague, CJ Gibson.
What's up?
And Raylene and Deej from Bungie.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Join us,
Hi, guys. Thank you for coming. So we have a lot of questions.
Canadian Mountie of Destiny. Sorry. I knew it was going to be something. Continue.
We have a lot of questions. First up, New Light. New Light is the free-to-play expansion. Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. It's actually it's cool because it's not an expansion. It's actually just the game. Yeah, it's not a new like trial. It's just like... now every player, whether you're an old Guardian or a new player, can come and check it out. So it is geared towards new players, but everybody can enjoy it. And it is free, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of our content. So you can play through Red War campaign. You can play through Curse of Osiris. And there's Warmind. Mm-hmm. And it's all about breaking down those barriers to get you and your friends playing together faster.
Awesome.
Right, so yeah, it's really cool.
So when you guys are making that decision, obviously, you know, there's a lot of free-to-play models out there. We always had the discussion of, you know, maybe you could do PvP for free, or, you know, you had the free weekend. What was the deciding factor in going, okay, this is the stuff that we want to offer to players in this package?
Yeah, I think it comes down to a lot of the vision of what we want for Destiny. As I said, like breaking down the barriers and having one big community, bringing in new players, and just keeping people together and playing. So,
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably the same things that you were thinking about when you were speculating about that sort of thing. Like, wouldn't it be cool if Destiny just opened its doors and invited people to come in and try it? What if there was a free Crucible weekend? Or even things we've done in the past, like the Gambit free trial right before we launched Forsaken last year, or even welcoming people on, Blizzard's Battle.net platform to come on and try Destiny for free. Those things have worked really well for us, and our community has responded well to new people showing up in the tower. Anytime you see somebody out in the wild running around with, a really low power score, and like nothing in their collections, it's like it's a new person.
Yeah.
You know, I can show up and I can throw down my super and I can show them how cool my Sparrow is, and that's really what the game is about, those social connections, doing awesome things and being witnessed by other people who see you do them. Mm-hmm. So we just want to expand the boundaries of the community. And like Raylene said, dropping the barriers is a huge theme for us. Dropping barriers between people who might not be members of our community yet, dropping barriers between people who are established in the community but might be playing on different platforms. Mm-hmm. We're opening it wide up and we're making it a lot more fluid this year.
Yeah. And as I want to experience the Forsaken content with my new Guardian friends who have joined the world of Destiny, how are they going to be able to access some of the Forsaken raids and such with me who's bought all the expansions and everything?
Yeah, so for Forsaken, actually for all players and all New Light players, you'll be able to experience all the destinations. So you can go drop down there. That includes the Dreaming City and Tangled Shore and even the Moon. Right? So you can jump down there and check it out. And for those players that want to have more story and want to check out Forsaken, there'll be a separate pack available on the store, and so that'll include the raids, the year two raids, and the exotic quests, as well as the campaign content. Yeah.
Nice. And how have you figured out the pricing structure for their entry? Is it going to be like, hey, I want to go do this strike, guys, or mission that's on the moon? It's going to be like, oh, hold up, got to go to the store and grab that quick, and then you can join me on my adventure?
A lot of the content will be accessible to all players, so all strikes in the strike playlist.
Cool.
Right. Nice. So when you jump as a new player, you'll play through the Cosmodrone. Is it the old mission from D1, and we're revamping it.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, so it's pretty exciting.
That's great.
That's what I'm working on. It's really cool.
Awesome.
And that's about 10-15 minutes long. And then when you finish that, you grab a ship and you head straight to the tower. So when you're in the tower, you can start playing strikes, start playing Crucible, Gambit. You can go jump down to the destinations as well. And so we're trying to make it really easy for you to start doing the things that your friends are doing as well. Yeah.
That's cool. I think what you mentioned there, just the moon, I think that was probably my favorite destination.
We've
heard and seen little glimpses of it. What was it like, revisiting the moon again and seeing some of those familiar locations, but then expanding upon them?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It has some of that nostalgia. Mm-hmm. The moon's my favorite destination, too. I think because it's so grounded, and it's also expanded a lot. So I know the team is working on giving new spaces within the moon and surprises for players that have already experienced it. And then New Light players it's going to be brand new to them, which is also pretty exciting. And Eris is back, and she's one of my favorite characters. So I'm really excited to see what the team is doing with her and the stories that are going to be told. And there's going to be nightmares as well. So Eris is there and she's experienced these nightmares, and you're there to help her get through them, try solving the problems and the mysteries of the moon. So, yeah.
One thing everybody seems really, really excited about, I know I am, is cross save.
Yes.
So if I want to take my PC character and join my PlayStation friends and go through, I have a save on my PlayStation already. Am I going to have to pick one and then?
You are going to have to pick one. Yeah, this isn't a matter of merging together accounts. You're going to pick your favorite child.
Yeah. Not possible.
And then you're going to duplicate that, account across different platforms. So we'll have that workflow better defined, and we'll invite you to participate in that later on Bungie.net. So you'll come to Bungie.net, you'll pick your primary account. These are my favorite guardians. It's possible. Just have one warlock, life is so much
easier. Well, listen, Hunter right? Deej, we'll get into it later.
So you bring your Arc Warlock and your Suros Regime, which is really the best way to play Destiny, and then you can link different accounts together. So the cool thing about this is that progression is persistent. That sharing is ongoing. So if you are on PC, you go visit your PlayStation friends, and over on the PlayStation, at that moment, you earn a new exotic that you've been really craving, like the Suros regime, for instance. Mm-hmm. You can then jump back over to PC, jump back in with some of your friends over there and be like, look what I just got over on PlayStation, because it's just, it's instantaneous. Yeah. It's not like just some like one-time transfer. It's ongoing. So as you move from platform to platform to platform, all that character growth is shared in all the places that you play.
So
as a community manager,
yeah.
I have been dreaming about this for years.
Yeah.
I can move between all these different platforms. I mean, I'm going to have like a Stadia station right there at my desk at work and just be able to play Destiny with any of the people in our community and hear what they're talking about in real time and not have to sort of regrind these characters up to a respectable level.
Yeah. I think it's the most exciting thing that people talk about at the studio is this, right? Because like, oh man, I have so many friends that play on PlayStation, but I play a PC so I can load it up at work easily. But I'm like, oh yeah, now I can finally play with some of my old crew from back home. So yeah, it's cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And one passive benefit to this, you guys said no more platform exclusives. I'm very happy about that. It's more unification of the community.
Yeah.
Right. And that's something that's really mattered to me. It's been really, really important. So thank you for that.
We've had that conversation on several occasions.
Yeah.
Prior E3. So I knew that, when there's sometimes we get a hold of the new news we get to deliver and we can think about the people with whom that's going to land the most. And I'm very happy about no more console exclusives, no more platform exclusives. Yeah.
For sure.
It is nice. I mean, we've come into such different points of time. We had PlayStation 4 early on for us. Then we did switch over to PC. So, it's nice that we can play both. I mean, I play with my kids now. So, too, it's really, thank you very much for that. I had a question, too, just about... cross-play, obviously, is the next question. Great. Cross-save, cross-play. Is that a possibility? I know there's a lot of talk about a bunch of other people doing it. We'd love to see that in the future as well, too. Is that something you guys are maybe experimenting? Or? Mm.
I know Mark Noseworthy was down here at E3 with us earlier in the week and has since gone back to Bungie. We've got a lot of work to do. That's the work we're focused on right now. So cross-save is what we'll be delivering September 17th. As for what the future holds, I mean, obviously... our goals right now, our mission as developers is to unite the community, to drop those barriers. Crossplay could fit into that future. It's absolutely not something we would be able to forecast or announce at this time, but we certainly see the virtue, we see the benefit in it. We also see a lot of hard work we would have to do to get there, and right now our mission is to go to the moon.
Sounds good. Yeah. It looks great.
Yeah, I have everything that I need on PC. I bought all the expansions and everything. And one question I have to ask, because everybody keeps asking me this.
Yeah.
When I want to transition to Google Stadia, or if I want to transition to Xbox where I don't own any of that stuff, does it need to be repurchased? And how are you taking down those barriers to entry if it does?
My understanding, you want me to take this one?
You go for it.
Okay. my understanding is that you do need to buy Destiny in the places where you want to play Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, there is new light. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go over and hang out on a different platform where you have some friends, New Light is available for install there. If you want to play some Crucible, if you want to play some Gambit, if you just want to free roam around some of the different destinations. But then as you drill down deeper into the player experience, there will come a time where you may need to repurchase Forsaken or Shadowkeep or any of the other seasons that we'll be delivering after that point. The thing that we're doing with Destiny is we're allowing you to sort of meet the game where it satisfies you. You've got the New Light install. That's the free entry point to the game. Beyond that, there's no such thing as content complete anymore. There's no such thing as purchase criteria. Like, well, you can't own that unless you own all these other things that you might not want to experience. So you can buy an expansion. You can buy one active season at that moment. If you see something cool happening and the people in the Destiny community are jumping into something that you want to participate in, you can grab onto just one season without having to take a leap of faith on an entire annual pass in advance.
Yeah, because before we had the annual pass and you had to buy the whole package, right, for that. So we're saying that and instead of the leap of faith, be like, hey, I jump into New Light and I'm kind of liking this, and so I want to get onto more rewards and I want to experience more. And so you can buy the season pass for, I think, $10 on the store. And also before New Light, and if you wanted to purchase Forsaken, there was also the monetary limitations. You're like, oh, how do I just jump in?
Yeah.
And be like, oh, actually, you have to get this and this and this before you can jump. And then play you know, tens of hours of campaign content to jump in and play with your friends, right? So
yeah, I mean, I think that was my biggest thing with Forsaken. Obviously great content.
Yeah.
It was difficult to tell people how to play it in a way because of the way Warmind and Osiris fit into that equation. So knowing that moving forward, is your guys' plan to potentially, you know, have a little bit of a season pass at a later date or to do releases maybe like once per quarter or something like that? Mm. Or has that been discussed?
Yeah, I think for this year it's seasonal content, so there'll be one per season for $10. I don't think we're past this year, 2019. I don't think we've announced anything.
No, we're
past
talking
that,
about
right, so.
1 year of Destiny right now.
Yeah, and it's a crazy year.
Yeah.
Now, for hardcore players like yourselves, you know, we do have a digital deluxe edition of Shadowkeep.
Yeah.
That gets you Shadowkeep, the season in which Shadowkeep occurs, and the three seasons that will follow. So you can buy a year of Destiny content that's contained in the digital deluxe edition. If you just want to play Shadowkeep and see where life takes you, if you're you know, a more casual Destiny player out there in the world, and then later on, if you find the seasons compelling, you're not missing out on anything. You can just pluck one season off the tree and enjoy it for what it is without having to invest in all of them in advance.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everyone. I don't need an excuse to play more Destiny, but I'll take it. Speaking of Destiny, if you're a Destiny fan, stay right where you are, because coming up next, we got a very special E3 episode of Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. That's happening right after this. Then we've got Ancestors, The Humankind Odyssey, followed by Oddworld Soulstorm, before we finish off day four of our coverage with a very special E3 Unlocked featuring Kumail Nanjiani, from Silicon Valley, The Big Sick, and so much more. Don't go anywhere. E3 coverage continues right after this. Welcome back to IGN Live at E3. Every week, IGN's Fireteam Chat promises to bring Destiny fans the hottest Destiny news. Why? Because Destiny kicks ass all year round, and E3 is no different. Here to help me break down all the new Destiny E3 news is the only other person at IGN who has played as much as me, CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Joining us today is Scott Taylor.
Hi.
And David Digg. Good to see you, sir.
Also joining us, Spider-Man.
He's here.
Right there.
Spider-Man.
He's far from home on the IGN there.
The Fireteam Chat sponsored by Spider-Man.
Not a playable character.
Absolutely.
Not a playable character.
Not a playable character in Destiny 2 Shadowkeep.
Nope.
Good call out. Good call out.
Yet.
This isn't live, right?
It's live to tape, which is pretty much we're screwed up.
This is going to be great.
We have tons of Destiny questions.
Why is there a crowd out there? What's going on?
Tons of Destiny questions to get to.
Yeah.
Let's start with one of CJ's notes.
Oh, wow.
What happened?
Well, okay, listen.
Oh, is this because you're the host now?
I'll take it in. All right.
All right.
Fatalities. You guys have brought you guys have brought that to Destiny. Uh-huh. Finishing moves, you call them.
Thank you.
How does that work now? You kind of, you know, it's been stuff in the Viaduct where people are meleeing people. You're seeing ogres flip around.
Yeah.
You know, right here. What are we looking at? And how do we actually use this new finishing move?
When you have one of these finishing moves and you're close to one of the enemies, you can engage that. And so I think we only show a couple of them in the Viaduct here that you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have more to talk about with finishing moves as the summer goes on.
Nice. Yeah. Is it going to be something where you have the ability to pick the one you equip, or is it per character or class ability, or have you
I think we are announcing all that stuff later. I don't think we've gotten into detail. It was a little tease and taste there.
Yeah, okay.
Another one of those things we're doing to let you customize your character.
Yeah.
So it truly feels like you. Think of it almost like a combat emote. So this is an opportunity for you to decide how your character fights. It's an opportunity for you to add a little bit of real-time action flair. Mm-hmm. And we'll show you all about new ways we're doing character customization. We'll go behind the scenes of, you know, the UI, the mm-hmm. UX.
Okay.
We'll show you the people who've been working on that stuff. But, you know, it's almost staggering to think of the amount of media that we released last week, you know, between
the
Opulence trailer and all the stuff that we did for TuneIn for the reveal and the real reveal itself. So our heads are still kind of spinning with the announcements.
You guys like Destiny?
I mean,
we play.
Yeah,
we play.
And Spider-Man. Yeah. Do you guys?
One of us finished the new raid.
Oh, there it is. I was. let's see. 2 minutes. Okay.
Shots
I was
fired.
Waiting how long was going
to
take.
Look, it doesn't even need to be said at this point. Everyone knows, right? What did you guys think of the announcement as fans? Like, we announced a ton of stuff. Were you guys expecting that kind of pop?
I literally texted CJ, and I'm like, CJ, I'm not kidding. They're fixing almost everything.
What were the things
this
you liked?
The cross save is fantastic.
Yeah, that's good.
No more console exclusives. The fact that you're adding a free-to-play entry point.
Yes.
You know, that's really great. That's going to bring in more Guardians.
Yeah, we're hoping. Yeah.
I think overall this is going to bolster the player base on all platforms.
I remember, it's funny because a lot of these things are questions that I remember through the years you asking about. Mm-hmm. And so it is kind of nice. Like, you know, we play the game. We're excited with this this new era of Destiny 2 to really make a game that we're super excited about as players.
Yeah.
And then so it's good. It's good if you like it.
Yeah, I'm very happy. During E3, there's been a lot of talk about Destiny 2. Real quick, I'm just wondering, will there someday be a Destiny 3?
Well, right now, I will tell you, the things that we're focused on as a studio is Destiny 2, Shadowkeep, and then those seasons. Like, because if you see, we're kind of changing how the season model's working, where you have these a la carte seasons. If you opt into something cool, so if you can just buy it and get that part of it. You don't have to sign up for a whole year right away. So right now the studio is all head down. If I was to open up my email and look at it, it's all like Shadowkeep season 8, 9. That's kind of like what's right in front of us right now.
Okay. And with Shadowkeep, we're going back to the moon.
Oh yeah.
Tell us about this space. How has it evolved from Destiny 1? What's different?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things about Destiny that we like is your character's progressing, and also that those worlds that you're in and those places are moving forward. So it's a mystery, right? Like, you're going back to the moon, Eris is there, something's happened, there's new spaces, there's some familiar spaces, we're playing with kind of a, like, psychological horror type thing, and the moon works really well for that. So when we look at all of Destiny 1 and Destiny 2, all these great locations, we want to kind of take that, all those great places, and evolve them forward and tell stories about them. I think it's really powerful when you see something that you remember fondly from 3 years ago, and you see how something's happened. Like, something new has been cropped up there, and then you want to know why. And so we think that's something that Destiny can do really well. And the moon's just cool. The moon's like a place you can look up in the sky and see, and so it's super relatable. And we all kind of have our vision of what the moon is. And now we're going to see what's going on in D2's moon.
Mm-hmm. And Eris is back. I mean, one of the things that we were talking about at the end of Taken King, which is kind of disappeared for a little while there. So we're like, when is it going to be time for her to come back? And getting a chance to see her in the latest, Vidoc that you guys did was super cool. Now, I have a question.
Sure.
She's kind of part in, in the background a little bit with the main three. Kate is no longer in the mix. So how's that going to – I already
last year,
you guys
in
both
Forsaken, Cade died.
Yeah, Cade's
hurt
dead.
Me. You guys both said that he's dead. He's still dead.
He is still dead.
Hoping maybe he comes back in a nightmare.
You want him to come in a nightmare?
Well, I don't know.
What do you want to do?
I feel like it might be something.
CJ wants to pull the trigger.
You want to kill Cade?
I want Cade to potentially come back in some kind of maybe vision to assist me.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. And maybe
that's what you want.
Yeah, and maybe Eris is there.
Yeah, that's what happens in your nightmares. You meet a bunch of friends.
Friends, they help you fight evil.
I'm just saying, well, you had some nightmares. Cade's going to be there to save me.
I had a nightmare last night. All right. My favorite character was there, and he had none.
There's no weird Canadian version of Destiny 2 that lets you do these strange things that you were interested in.
You never know.
I don't know. There's no new Cade.
But I mean, Eris, like the story with Eris and Cade, because they were also close. I mean, they were a big part of the Taken King story. So, are we going to see maybe a little bit of how that plays out with her?
Well, I mean, the thing I'll tell you is that there's, whenever Eris is around, you can expect like some weird, cool stuff to happen. And so it's definitely going to be mysterious. I'm not going to tell you. Here's the thing. You're asking these questions. Do you really want me to tell you the story the thing? You don't really want that.
Fine, Scott, fine.
I see the thing is like, I don't want to, don't tell us too much in the trailers. Right, you just literally just asked me to tell you the story. I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
You talk a lot about like evolving spaces. You started this with a dreaming city, and you have these little vignettes from the queen that we could revisit every week. Is Eris going to be our point of narrative delivery for those vignettes?
Eris is the main character in Shadowkeep, and we do, I mean, it's good that you keyed in on that. Like, with Forsaken, we tried some things like that we'd never done before, the evolving the destination, and we liked that. We thought, both as players and developers, we thought that was a really cool thing that the Destiny could do in a very unique way. And so, while I'm not going to go super into detail there, I think when you look at the moon, you're going to see the influences of the Dreaming City and that kind of progressive storytelling, because it's super interesting to be able to. I think people were surprised with the Queen, going in and seeing like, oh my God, this is keeps going, and so we liked that feel. Of earning your way to some cool story content.
As long as I don't have to play Blindwell to get it, I'm good.
What?
I'm good on Blindwell. I had to do so much to get all the queen.
There's Crota. It's great seeing some of those things again.
We're running. We got like 60 seconds.
What?
So I'm going to do a little bit of a rapid fire thing. One thing that nobody is really discussing right now is some of the stuff that we still have challenges with as core players. My vault space is too full. Infusion cores are still an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you going to be addressing those with Shadowkeep in any way?
You got anything?
Yeah, I don't know. No, I got nothing on that. I know that the systems team is always taking a look at these things. Expansions are an opportunity for us to update those systems. You know, I think from the beginning of a season to the delivery of an expansion, but community should keep talking about where their pain points are because, to your point, sometimes when we have a reveal, you can look at the person next to you and say, they fixed everything. So this is a conversation. That conversation will be
almost everything.
Exactly. You said it. I was just quoting you. I thought it was very quotable.
I said almost everything. There's always challenges,
that's Ligari from
IGN. That you're
Raves. They fixed
everything. I mean, the reason we say it's like a conversation between our developers and our fans is it is. And if you look at how far Destiny 2 has come since it launched, I think you can see that we're always looking to do that work. And we're also, it's really important to us that we have a really healthy team and that they're able to take time off and work a reasonable rate. And so one of the things that we try to do is balance all those requests that we have with that team health. That's important to us.
I'm being told I have to wrap it up. I have to ask one last question. Yeah. Transmogrification, am I going to need materials to enable those?
Oh, boy. That seems like a little the kind of detail that we're going to unpack. I don't think we've used that word, by the way.
I was going to say,
for people who don't know, that's a good journalist trick. Yeah. Like you just state it as a fact, but no, we have not used that word. We'll talk more about how armor is
evolving. We don't call it transmog. Yes. Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. But that's it.
Got it. Well, good. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, everyone.
Wait, we don't get to save Fire Team. We don't get to see Guardians out?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. We'll
just do it. Here we go.
You want to do it anyway?
Yes. All right.
It's going to be awkward. Guardians out.
What? You got
to. Thanks, everyone. Be sure to check out Fire Team Chat every week on IGN. Right. We've got tons more E3 coverage coming up right after this. We're checking out Ancestors, the Humankind Odyssey, a game about ancient apes who learned to make fire as a team just by chatting with each other. We'll be back.
Yeah. So anyways, yes, Fran, it was great to have you. This is a little outro for E3 episode. Also as well, shout out to Steven and Click. Gary was around. And some imaginary friend that we have also is floating around here somewhere. His name is
Cut.
Teddy. Oh, there he is.
There's Teddy.
Teddy is...
I exist.
He's always around for E3s.
Hey, come on this side with the winners.
Listen, Teddy, invitation revoked.
Come on here, you guys let me in, sorry.
Yeah. Anyways.
Congratulations, by the way. Didn't get to officially say it on the show, I don't think I realize.
Yeah. I swapped a hunter.
Oh yeah, did you? After watching
it
me.
It was very helpful.
You had to get those Fran strats.
The right move.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.